Hey, church, I'm excited to walk through scripture with you guys today. We are in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth," it's talking about Jesus, "where he had been brought up." This is his hometown. "And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read." He had been entering the synagogue on the Sabbath since he was a kid. That was very normal, but standing up to read, that was different. But I want to back up a couple of verses to give us some context. In verse 14, we learn that Jesus is coming out of his wilderness season, a time where for 40 days he set aside food and the enemy came at him with lie after lie and he overcame by the word of God. And verse 14 tells us when Jesus came out of that experience, he was different. He was in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he began to teach people in the Galilee area and perform a few miracles, and news began to spread. But we don't have public record of his ministry moments until this sermon back in Nazareth, his hometown. So I like to think of it as his inaugural address to his own people. Verse 17, it says, "And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" What a statement. This is such a powerful place in scripture in the book of Isaiah. And of all the scrolls they could have handed him, they hand him Isaiah, a book filled with prophecies about a coming Messiah, whom the people of Israel knew about, they were waiting on, they knew he would come to save them and restore their nation. And here Jesus reads this passage about himself. Isaiah could have said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon him," but he wrote it in first person, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," because I believe there was going to be a time where Jesus would come and grab this specific scroll and declare to his own people who he was and what he was called to do. And what is their response? Verse 22, they were speaking well of him. They were in wonder at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. You can imagine this scene. They're encountering the presence of God maybe for the first time in their life. And all of a sudden, hope floods the room as they begin to realize these promises they had heard about might actually be coming true. Could it be true that this is going to be the year of the Lord's favor? Could this man be the Messiah we've been waiting on? And then there's a shift at the end of the verse. They begin to say, "Is this not Joseph's son?" In other words, didn't he grow up down the street? Don't we know his dad? He's not a holy man. He's just a blue-collar worker. They felt like they knew enough about Jesus already, and in their familiarity, they miss his true value. Familiarity causes what's precious to just become common to us, ordinary, not extraordinary. And they knew Jesus, the Son of Man, Joseph's son, but they completely missed that he was the Son of God. And I've been thinking, what happens to you and I when we grow up in the church around his name all of the time? We hear his stories, we sing his songs. Could that familiarity cause us to miss an entirely new side of Jesus that we haven't even discovered yet? Jesus began to address what they were all thinking. He began to speak truth to it. John described Jesus as full of grace and truth. The first part of his sermon was all grace. The last part was all truth. And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do right here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown." Jesus is reading their thoughts. They're expecting him to prove that he's miraculous, that he's so much more than Joseph's son. They feel entitled to it because this is his hometown crowd. But God doesn't respond to our entitlement. He doesn't draw near when we think we deserve it. No, God always responds when we get humble and we actually approach him in faith. Jesus tries to explain further. This has happened all throughout scripture. God sent Elijah with his power and with his word, but no one was ready to receive from him. So he had to bless a widow outside in the land of Zarephath. He sent Elisha, same situation with his word and his power, but he had to go outside and find a man from Syria with leprosy to heal him. How do you think everyone responded to Jesus' first sermon? How many hands do you think went up when the piano playing began at the end? Or how big do you think his love offering was? What does it say, verse 28? And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. They got up and drove him out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. Wow. The result of Jesus' very first sermon on record, it wasn't thousands of decisions like Peter would see several years later. At first, they were filled with awe, but very quickly, the enemy sowed seeds of doubt and cynicism, which became rejection, hatred, and by the end, they tried to take his life. And Jesus settled right then and there that his ministry would be unto the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man. He didn't alter his message to get applause or more likes or more followers. No, God sent him for one purpose, to tell you and I the truths that no one else loved us enough to tell us. And sometimes people were ready to receive it, and sometimes they weren't.
Okay, New Life Church, we're learning the word. I love what we're getting. Every day, a dose that we need for that day. Manna for the day, it's scriptural. I want to also remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can get this every day on Facebook. Just get involved in what we're doing. We're going to be here again tomorrow, so let's stay in the word together. That's what we're trying to do.